Good evening. Good to see everyone this evening. We are going to turn to Joshua chapter 15 tonight. Joshua 15. I don't know how many of you had a chance to read this chapter. Isn't it interesting? If you are able to glean anything out of it. Let us ask the Lord to bless our time. Maybe you look to the Lord for in a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be together this evening, to bring all our needs and cares before you, God our Father, because you are able to provide and you are faithful in your promises. And you loved us. You promised to bless us through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have already blessed us in him. All the blessings are we have in him. All the promises are sure in Christ our Lord. So we thank you, Father. We bring all our needs and cares to you once again. We thank you that you heard our prayers. And now we ask for your blessing upon our study. Pray that you open our hearts and open our eyes to see the things of God, how you have been faithful and you have been the way you have blessed God's people through the history, fulfilling your promises, and encourage us through that this evening, Lord. So we pray that you help us to learn more about you through your word. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we have finished 14 chapters in Joshua. We have come to the 15th chapter. Now we have 10 more chapters left. So at this point, if I ask you what is the theme of Joshua, what would you say? You could come up with different ways, you know. Maybe what I'm thinking may not be the same thing you are thinking. What do you think the theme of Joshua is? God giving them land, yes. A promised land, yeah. Anyone else? Obtaining and dividing the promised land, right. So, anybody else? He was with Joshua as he was with Moses. He would be, yeah, the promise. So all three answers reflect the promise, the fulfillment of the promise. That's what I was thinking too. So the theme of Book of Joshua, as I wrote it down here, is fulfillment of a promise given 430 years before. Fulfillment of a promise given 430 years before. So before we come to 15, I wanted to take you to a couple of verses. One is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Genesis 12, verse 7. There it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And with the Bethel on west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Then Abraham journeyed on, continuing towards the Negev. So these things we will see again, these places, if you pay attention to these. But here in chapter 12, look at verse 1. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from the relatives and from your father's house to the land which I'll show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, So you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and you, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and the Lord went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot his nephew, and all the possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Then verse 6, Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Mori. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. To your descendants I will give this land. That is the promise God made to Abraham 430 years ago. And if you look at chapter 13, verse 14 to 18, we read there, chapter 13, verse 14 to 18, the Lord said to Abram, after the Lord had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, I'll give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length, its breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oak of Mamre, which are in Hebron. There he built an altar to the Lord. So now we come back to chapter 15. We see the promise God gave 430 years ago to Abraham. Now God is going to fulfill that promise. So the theme of Joshua is the fulfillment of a promise given many, many, many years ago to Abraham. Now the Lord is faithful to keep his promise. One of the nature, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, 23, for he who is promised, is faithful. For he is faithful who is promised, or that way we can read. So the promise is not only faithful, is not only sovereign, but is faithful. This book written by Prayer Power Unlimited by Oswald Sanders, I was reading in this. So he says in that book, a promise is a written or a verbal declaration that binds the person who makes it to do or forbear a specified act. When used of God, it is his pledge or undertaking to do or to refrain from doing a certain thing. Such promises form the basis of the prayer of faith. It is through prayer that these promises are turned into the facts and factors of our Christian experience. The validity and the dependability of a promise rest on the character and the resources of the one who makes it, just as the validity of a bank check depends on the integrity and the bank balance of the one who signs it. So God made a promise. And does he have the resource to fulfill that promise? Yes, he is sovereign. And is he faithful to fulfill it? He is faithful. So that is what we see here, and that is the theme of Joshua. And in this book, he says, this is how Spurgeon says about the promise. Every promise of Scripture is a writing of God. Every promise of the Scripture is a writing of God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 20, we read, every promise in Christ is yes to us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So every promise made in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is going to be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So the covenant is a promise God made to his people, and God is faithful to fulfill that. And we will see the complete fulfillment of that covenant in Christ Jesus. We experience that, and we are going to see in the future that it will be completely fulfilled. So the scripture speaks about these promises are the precious and the great promises. And we read in Hebrews 11:33, the number of patriarchs or the heroes of faith is mentioned, and they said they obtained those promises through faith. So as we study, as we've been studying this book of Joshua, who is the real hero of this book? God, right? God, the one who appeared to Joshua, right? Earlier, the captain of the host of the army of the Lord. He is the real hero. And we can see because of some others who committed wholeheartedly to follow the Lord, the captain of the host of the army, they have become heroes of faith. And their faith in the promises of God made them heroes. Their faith in the promises of God. So as we have come to this chapter 15, we can divide the book of Joshua into two main parts. Can you give me how? Two main parts. You can divide into four parts, but mainly two parts. One is chapter 1 to 12 is the conquest of the promised land. Conquest of the promised land. Then chapter, we can say 13 to 24 is the allotment of the promised land, the conquest, and they are allotted, they were proportionated to the children of Israel, different tribes. Now, another way we can divide is the first chapters are the preparation for possession. Preparation. Then 6 to 12, so the first, the conquest can be divided into two. Preparation for possession, that is first five chapters. Then 6 to 12 is the possessing the possession or possessing the promise. That's where the conquest comes, starting from Jericho, then Ai, Gibeonites, move onward, you know, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdoms. And 13 to 21 is proportioning the land with the detailed descriptions we can see. So that's where we are between 13 and 21. We saw in chapter 13, the land was divided on the east side of Jordan to three tribes there. Now we come to the west side, and chapter 14 we saw portion was given to Caleb. Now we are in chapter 15. So chapter 13 to 21 is proportioning the land with the detailed descriptions. Then 22 to 24 is a prophecy of Joshua, in that they are exhorted to follow the Lord. Otherwise, what they are going to face, the consequences they're going to face. So that's how we see the outline of Joshua at this point. But let's come to chapter 15. I will not be reading this chapter because it has 63 verses and most of them are names, but I'll be reading here and there a few verses. So chapter 15 is totally dedicated to the distribution of the southern part of the country to Judah, which occupies the entire chapter. So at this point, I wanted to put that slide up there. So Okay, so we, so far we saw that, so east of Jordan, we saw the Reuben and Gad and Manasseh was given the inheritance. Then we, on the west side, they entered into the promised land, and the priority was given to Caleb. You know why the priority was given to Caleb? Right, he believed God. He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. That is what Jeremy last week went over that fact. So in chapter 15, as we will be looking, so the southern part over here, so the boundary is described in the first 12 verses. Judah's inheritance is described by the boundaries that goes by the boundary of the Dead Sea all the way down, then all the way to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was in, that is where the Israelites were at the time Moses sent out the, okay, so this is where the Israelites were. How many years ago they were here when they came out of Egypt? 40, they were there 45 years ago. 45 years ago. Caleb was 40 years old. So 38 years they were a couple of years, it took a couple of years to get here, a little over a year. Then 38 years, they were in the wilderness, 38 plus years. So total 40 years. Then they started to come into the promised land. Now all those areas were captured. Now it is time for distribution. So if Caleb is 85 years old now, then it was 45 years ago. So it took 7 years to get all that land captured. So Caleb and Israelites were here at that time. Moses sent Joshua and Caleb and 10 spies to the promised land to spy out the land. And we know from the account we had last week, as well as we read Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we get a good idea of what happened at that time. So in this chapter, the first 12 is the boundaries of the tribe of Judah, described by its general boundaries. Verse 13 to 20 is Caleb's possession, special inheritance to Caleb, which lay within those boundaries within Judah, because Caleb was one of the tribes of Judah. Then verse 21 to 63, we have a list of the cities of Judah. There is 116 cities are listed. I didn't count them, but I got the information. So I got the information from someone who counted. So the list of cities given to Judah, that 116 cities are listed there. So, okay, let me go. So this is the same picture up there, but let me come back. So this is Judah, and later we'll find that in chapter 19, Simeon was given a portion within Judah. Then chapter 16 and 17, we see Ephraim and Manasseh was given their inheritance here. Then 19, we'll see the rest of the 7.5 tribes, which next week they will cover 16, 17, 18, 19, four chapters. So please pray for Dave. So we'll cover all that. All that 7.5 tribes will be given inheritance. But so this is the land which was promised by God and given by God. We know God is the hero. God is the one who brought them there. God is the one who caused them to conquer the land. God is the one who gave Jericho into their hand, Ai into their hand. God is the one who caused the southern kingdoms to be defeated, the northern kingdoms to be defeated. So God is the one who was faithful in giving them this land. So this is the inheritance God gave the children of Israel as a gift. It was a gift to them. It was an inheritance. Now, if you look back, now let's come back to today. This is I was trying to get a picture of today of Israel. So this is what they have now. So they have a little, we see, they have all these portions before. So part of Egypt was promised, included in the promise. Then if you look over there, part of Syria was included in the promise. And this is part of Jordan. This is where Reuben and Gad and Manasseh was given the inheritance. And this is now only partially they occupy the Israel. But eventually, Israel is going to get all this land. I don't know what point they're going to get all this land back. Maybe it is in the millennial kingdom, but you see the picture of what is happening right now. But this is what was promised and given to the Israelites. So as we saw, the Reuben and Gad and half of Manasseh was already established on east of Jordan. That we saw in chapter 13. That is over here. Now, moving to the promised land on the west side of Jordan, priority was given to Caleb. We saw that in chapters 14, verse 6 to 15. That's due to the Lord's specific promise to Caleb before the allocation by Lot, as we see in chapter 15. So if you turn to chapter Numbers chapter 14, verse 20 to 24 for a second, Numbers 14, verse 20 to 24. So when all the spies came back, only Joshua and Caleb brought the positive reports. The other 10 spies were negatively discouraging people, and they were saying, "We cannot, because they didn't have the faith." And Joshua and Caleb said, "We can." "We can" means God can. So we will. God will. And we can. So they spoke through the faith. I don't know whether you read chapter 13 or 14 recently. I encourage you to read Numbers 13 and 14. It's very interesting, and we can see the faith of Caleb there. So they were going to stone Joshua and Caleb, and God was pretty unhappy with them and was going to destroy them. And Moses and Aaron pleaded with the Lord, and this is what we read in verse 20. So the Lord said, "I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I sowed to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully or heartily or wholly, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." So God gave Moses a promise there about Caleb. Now, Caleb knew about this promise, so based on that promise, Caleb asked for an inheritance. So the priority was given in the promised land. Caleb was given the inheritance. Now, right after that account is given, now we are moving to chapter 15. We'll read a few verses in the beginning. Now the lot for the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families, reached the border of Edom, southward to the wilderness of Zin, in the extreme south. Their south border was from the lower end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that turns to the south. Then it proceeded southward to the ancient Akrabim and continued to Zin, then went up by the south of Kadesh Barnea and continued to Hezron and went up to Adar and turned about to Karka. So it's giving you a description of the boundary starting from here, the Dead Sea, all the way down here, then going back. It's actually the promise was given all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, but the map only shows this much. But eventually the Philistines were there. They needed to be driven out, but this was the boundary given to Judah, all this. So why is Judah given the preference in the promised land? You know, the priority was given to Caleb because of the promise God has already given to him, a specific promise. Now, why the priority is given to Judah? He's not the firstborn. Why was he given priority here? Okay, through his blessing, right? Yeah. So we see that Judah has become most important tribes among all other tribes. The reason is Reuben is the firstborn. Simeon was the secondborn. Levi was the thirdborn. And Judah was the fourthborn. Now, fourthborn got preeminence among his brethren. The reason Reuben dishonored his father's wife, Bilhah, by sleeping with her. And God was not pleased with that. So he lost his birthright because of that. Then Simei and Levi led violence and massacre against Shechemites because they violated his sister. So they went and killed many of them. And Jacob was not happy. Jacob said, "You made my name a stench in the land." So they were not given that birthright, they were bypassed. And Judah was given, if you turn to Genesis chapter 49, okay. So this is the blessing Jacob is giving to Judah. "Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He ties his foal to the vine, and his donkey is called to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine, and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are dull from wine and his teeth white from milk. So the blessing is given by Jacob to Judah that he is going to be giving birth to the kings. He is going to rule, and scepter will not depart from him. And we know that Jesus Christ eventually called the Lion of Judah, right? He is the King of Kings. So we know the greatest king of Israel, David, is in the tribe of Judah. He is a man after God's own heart, and he ruled 40 years, and there was peace and prosperity, and David is the sweet singer of Israel, and his son Solomon, and wisest man ever lived. That was the pinnacle of glory in Israel, the glory days of Israel under him. He built that great temple, and he also wrote scriptures, you know, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And after the division of the kingdom, north and south, how was the northern kingdom known? Kingdom Israel, right? Or Ephraim. How was the southern kingdom known? Judah. Even though Benjamin was with them, it was known as Judah. Jerusalem was in Judah, and the temple was there. The presence of God was there. So Judah was given supremacy among his brethren. That's why this priority was given to Judah in giving out the inheritance. So he got the blessing of the firstborn. He did not completely get the blessing of the firstborn. You know, he got preeminence among his brethren, but the blessing of the firstborn went to Joseph and his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So if you turn to 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1 and 2, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, we can see that there. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. We'll read the early few verses, maybe 4 verses. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that he is not enrolled in the genealogy according to the birthright. Though Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came the leader, yet the birthright belonged to Joseph. So the birthright was given to Joseph, and eventually when Jacob blessed the children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, they were given the birthright. Ephraim was blessed. So that is why the second division after we see Judah, the land was given into Ephraim and Manasseh before it is given to any other tribes. So we see the preeminence of, or the supremacy of Jacob, Judah among his brethren. That's why this land was given to Judah. Now Caleb was given his inheritance within Judah's inheritance. And later on in chapter 19, we can see that Simeon was given a portion within the inheritance of Judah. Now it speaks about casting lot. We don't have much details about how the lot was cast. I did some studies on that, so it said the lot were cast to find the location of the inheritance, not the size. You know what was the size based on? The size of the inheritance. It was, if you turn to Numbers chapter 26, verse 54 and 55, we can see the size, the basis of the size given to each tribe. Numbers 26, 54 and 55. Numbers 26, 54 Numbers 26, 50, starting from verse 52. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, among these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To the larger group you shall increase their inheritance, and to the smaller group you shall diminish their inheritance. Each shall be given their inheritance according to those who were numbered of them. But the land shall be divided by lot. They shall receive their inheritance according to the names of the tribes of their fathers, according to the selection by lot. Their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller groups. So the size was according to the size of the tribe. So Judah was the larger group, but the location was given by lot. So we don't know how that was given. They probably put their names in a container and pulled the location, and it was given. That idea is later we can find in chapter 18, verse 4 and 5. If you I think eventually we'll read, maybe get an idea right now. Verse 18, chapter 18, verse 4 and 5. So after Joshua sent out the sons of Israel before he divided the 7.5 tribes, we read here, provide for yourselves 3 men from each tribe that I may send them, and they may arise and walk through the land and write a description of it according to their inheritance. Then they shall return to me. They shall divide it into 7 portions. Judah shall stay in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall stay in their territory on the north. You shall describe the land in 7 divisions, and bring the description here to me. I will cast lots for you before the Lord our God. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. So Joshua told them to bring the description, and I will cast lots before the Lord. So the Lord was cast with great seriousness and solemnity, and in God's presence, and with prayer and petition to make God's will known to them. So it was God's design by which this land were distributed. So God's will was involved in distribution of that land. Now, we don't practice casting lots, do we? Do you, any one of us, if you want to make a decision, just write it down and try to pull one up? No, we don't. So how do we know what is God's will? How is the will of God is revealed now? Yeah. The word of God is the revelation of his will. Many of the things we need to know is revealed in the will of God. Then we pray about it. We trust about it. And sometimes we get an inclination to move certain ways. Sometimes we don't know what to do, but we trust the Lord and make a decision. And we pray, so that is how, in short, we make the Lord make his will known. But moving forward, let us read a couple more verses here, verse 13 to 19. There we can see there's a little more further description about Caleb's inheritance, which was described earlier in chapter 14, but here it is a little more described here. Let me read that. Now he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the sons of Judah, according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, and that is Hebron. Caleb drove them out from there, 3 sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, the one who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will give him Akshah, my daughter, as a wife. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, brother of Caleb, captured it. So he gave him Akshah, his daughter, as a wife. It came about that when he came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you want? Then she said, give me a blessing. since you've given me the land of Negev, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So this is the, then goes on to list all the cities given to Judah. But here we can see this, this faith of Caleb is passed on to the next generation. Now this, there are three giants are mentioned here, sons of Anak. We can see these same names in chapter 13 of Numbers chapter 13. Because when they went there, those 10 spies, they came back, said they saw these guys there, the same guys. So they said, be like grasshoppers before them. And we cannot do it. We cannot do it. And so that's why these names are brought back here. Now, Caleb at that time said, God will do it. God is with us. God is going to do it. Now, Caleb asked for that place to Joshua, and Joshua gave it to him. And Caleb said, now it is written that Caleb drove them out, 85 years old, because Caleb believed in a God who is able to fulfill his promise, which he gave him 45 years ago. So these guys, they are not the same guys. They are the children of those giants, the next generation. So the next generation is driven out. They are still giants. And we see another next generation of Caleb, the daughter of Caleb. Now she, well, Caleb said, you know, if you capture Kiriath Sefer, I'll give that person my daughter. And Othniel, we'll see him as one of the judges later in Judges chapter 3. He did it, and he was given Aksha as his wife, and she persuaded him to ask for a blessing. Now, where did she get this idea of asking? Where did she get that idea of? Because it's like father, daughter like the father, right? Father like the daughter, or what? Because she knows her father's faith. She knew how Caleb trusted God. So if you look at the Caleb's faith, what comes to your mind? Just a few of the things about Caleb's faith. Yeah. Okay. He pleased God. We read that a number of times. He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. What does it mean by wholeheartedly? And fully sold out to God, right? That means biblical thinking, obedience, trust is the center of our thinking. Then everything is about the Lord, completely sold out to God, wholeheartedly following the Lord. And didn't Caleb and Joshua face the same challenges the other 10 spies faced? They saw the same giants. What was the difference? Joshua and Caleb saw those challenges through the lens of the promises of God. So they saw those giants in the perspective of God's promises. Humanly, those giants were real. They were impossibilities. The capturing and conquest of the land was impossible. But Caleb didn't measure the giants in human terms, but by God's promises. That was the difference. And we can also see Caleb's humility. He was depending on the Lord. And he says in chapter 14, if God will, I will drive them out. I will capture that land. And he told Joshua that my vigor is the same. He's not talking about the physical vigor. He's talking about the spiritual vigor, spiritual strength. He had 45 years ago, he trusted that God, and he told the Israelites and Moses, we can because God is on our side. He still have that spiritual vigor and strength, and he says, I can. we can. And his daughter is the same material. The fruit didn't fall too far from the tree. And she saw her father's faith. And she said, "You gave me this land. I want the springs, the upper springs and the lower springs." So she knew Caleb asked, believe the Lord. He had the promise. He claimed the Lord by asking, and Joshua gave it. And she knew that if she asked, she will be given. And she was given. So we can see that faith is in his daughter, and she trusted the promise of God. Another thing stands out here is everything given to each tribe, and they is like an example. Caleb's inheritance, the deed was his. He can distribute to his family as he wish. That principle is there. So it was given to the tribes and to their families, clan by clan. They can, it belongs to them. So we come to the end of the study, then we can see the last verse 63. The Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah, could not drive them out. So the Jebusites live with them, with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. So later on at David's time, Joab captures Jerusalem, but until that time, the Jebusites were controlling that area. Now we look at the lesson we are going to learn from this chapter 15 is that the Lord has given us an inheritance. The last verse in 14 says the land had rest from war. If I ask you, did the land have rest? The land did not have rest. But they were given the inheritance. Now, we as children of God have been given the inheritance. Now, we are in this world. We need to claim it. This inheritance was given by God's promise. And by lot, that is, and also by claiming it. And we have been given these promises, and we need to claim it. In Ephesians, we read, we have been given all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Eventually, it goes and explains about the inheritance and everything. But later on in chapter 4, 5, and 6, our responsibility is mentioned. How are we going to get this inheritance? By trusting the Lord, being obedient to the Lord, following his word as the blueprint for our life, completely depending on the Lord and following him. That's how we going to enjoy this inheritance. The rest at the final, ultimately, it is going to be in heaven. But here we have peace in the Lord Jesus. We have joy in the Lord Jesus. We have a comfort in the Lord Jesus. We have a strength in times of weakness. We have the Lord's comfort in times of troubles. And faith is always tested. Isn't that right? Faith is always tested. But in times of testing, we need to completely trust the Lord and claim our promises. And we need to exercise that through prayer, of course, through obedience and trusting the Lord. So that is the lesson for us in this chapter. So it is the fulfillment of the Lord's promise. Even after 430 years, God is faithful to fulfill his promises, and he has given us all the resources to enjoy the rest we are enjoying, we are in now. We have eternal life right now. And all the benefits of that eternal life, being connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to enjoy it. Constantine in his prayer said, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and he will give you peace, rest, peace which passeth all understanding. We are a peculiar people. We are God's possession, apple of the eye. So we have been given many, many, many promises. And all those promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises you have given to us and encouraging us to not to give up, Lord, lose heart, but in faith claim the promises. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for all the promises we have in Christ Jesus. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.